Welcome to Frank on Target, your gateway to the world of politics, controversy, and the great outdoors. Join us as we dive into the heart of today's most pressing issues, explore the latest headlines, and uncover the wonders of nature, all under the enlightened guidance of our host, Frank Santarella.
You're listening to WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio, and I am here with Airgun Angie, and I'm Frank on Target, and we talk about everything. Angie is the premier outdoor sportswoman, and you folks know who she is. She's been on here before, and the amount of stuff that she does and the things that she's involved in simply amaze me. Angie, say hello and tell us what's going on in your life right now.
Hey, everybody. Busy. I've been traveling and hunting and been to West Virginia, been to Oklahoma, going to Georgia this weekend.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
What are you shooting in Georgia?
I'm actually not going to be shooting anything. Going down there to see my son, but he's coming down for a hog bay, a bay pen competition with his hog dogs.
Oh, really?
So, yep. Going down there to... That'll be my first one of those.
You got kids all over the place. You got kids in Georgia. You got kids in...
Jeez, Frank.
You got kids...
I got kids everywhere.
You got kids in Oklahoma, right?
I've got a son in Oklahoma.
Oh, man.
And then my other two, son and daughter, live here, so...
Oh, okay.
They're not everywhere.
All right. Wow. That's good.
I only have three.
Well, all right. All right. Well, you're not killing nothing this weekend. That's... So the wildlife is safe.
I may be going on a hog hunt with him, but I don't know if I'll be the one wheeling the knife.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing lately that really interests you? I mean, you know, what are we looking at that we're going to say, oh, wow, she did that too?
Well, I got invited to West Virginia for a banquet. The Greenbrier, let me see if I can say this right because it's kind of long. Greenbrier Valley Sportsman Alliance. Is a group of people that have come together, and what they do is they raise money for the youth in the outdoors. They give money to schools, they give scholarships, they do all kinds of things, and they had a banquet back in, was it April 3rd, something like that. They had a banquet, and over 1,000 people showed up.
Wow.
They raised $80,000.
I feel like a pauper now. We only raised $20,000 in 2 days. Oh my God, $80,000!
They did, and it's awesome. They give guns away, and they give guns, tree stands, everything outdoors. They put all these packages together. I guess it's not really giving it away. They raffle it off, so they're making money off of it, which is the whole purpose. But the money goes to, like, some schools have air gun programs where the kids shoot air guns. Cool. They go around to competitions. They'll pay for the bus rental, the gas, the hotels. They also have, like, shooting, archery, all different things that they fund. And that's what they raise their money for.
That's cool. That's cool. I mean, you know, you and I think we can agree that firearms education is firearms safety.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, when we were, not you, because you're a puppy. When I was a kid, you know, you had, what do you call it? You had rifle teams in school, and I had kids that in school with me that they had trap lines, and they'd tend the trap lines before they come to school, and it would be nothing to have a shotgun in your truck because you'd be going hunting after school or something like that, you know. And those are the things that we kind of lost, and I don't know why we lost them. I didn't change, you didn't change. I don't, the kids in school, I don't know if they changed.
I honestly think that it goes on to parents, honestly, because like you said, I mean, like, but my husband, he's a little older than me. He talks about when he used to have a gun in his truck. He'd go to school with a gun in his truck, and
that's what I'm saying.
He'd go hunting afterwards, and nobody thought anything of it. But now, if you see a gun anywhere near a school, and it's...
I gotta tell you something crazy. You know, we always had, I mean, when we were kids, 15, 14, 15, 16 years old, I mean, we didn't have handguns, you know, because, you know, they were restricted even back then when they were shooting muzzle loaders only. Handguns were restricted because we were, you know, minors and stuff like that. But we had air guns and stuff like that, you know. And my buddy had loaned me his air gun and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And we used to carry we didn't have backpacks. They were like little duffel bag kind of things they used to put our books in. And we'd think nothing. I want to give you, I'll see you at school tomorrow. I'll give you your air pistol. You know, throw it in the backpack, you know, throw it in your locker, you know, lock your locker, and then after school, give him his air pistol back, you know? But think nothing of doing that. Today we do 20 years. 20 years hard labor and math, but we'd get a trophy for it because it was a participation trophy, you know?
I think the children now are just lacking time. People lack responsibility. Both parents have to work now to make it work, and there's not enough time taken up with the children to teach them. I mean, a lot of I might step on some toes here, and there's a lot of toes to step on, but a lot of people think that the men's responsibility is to go to work, come home, sit on the couch, watch TV the rest of the evening, and the women take care of the children. And that's part of the problem, because I mean, when you have children, you're responsible for them all the time. It's 100% all the time. It's your job to teach them. And I think that's what's missing in families is...
I think we can, what do you call it?
We're so focused on making money that there's other things that lose out.
And Angie, you're hitting on so many things that are...
I'm stepping on toes.
No, you're not. You're hitting on so many things that are relevant. You know? And I don't know how you grew up. I grew up with three other siblings. One income, mom stayed home, one car, but one night a week she would go do the supermarket shopping because there was one car. It was a more basic lifestyle without this and that and these, you know, we need this, and you know, it was basic. You always had food, you always had clean clothes. They weren't new clothes, but they were clean clothes, you know, because, you know, doing laundry didn't cost you a lot of money, you know. It was different. And At 12 years old, I guess I was hunting at 10. At 12 years old, the old man threw me the keys to the, because we did have a gun rack in the house that was locked up, you know. Threw me the keys to the gun rack and said, listen, we're getting out of here early tomorrow morning. I want you to get the guns ready, you know. And everything was by the door, and the only thing I had to do was throw them in the car and what do you call it, and get the dogs ready. But it was different. It was totally different. I didn't tell you the other thing. Kept coming with the keys to the gun cabinet, you ended up cleaning the guns, and God help you, if it rained, you know, my old man was a World War II vet, and man, that shit better be right, you know? It better be right.
Well, it teaches responsibility, happen to...
Of course it does. I gotta tell you the other thing, too. You know, there's a If you're in the woods and you're hunting, there's a reality. You live with a reality. You learn a reality at a young age. Okay? Now, my dad wasn't He wasn't a doctor. He wasn't a lawyer. He worked for a living. All right. But he would emphasize on us how important firearm safety was in a simple way. String a deer up, because up north we used to string them up and let them hang for a week in the cold. String a deer up in the yard and he'd say, "You kids are pretty smart. Do good in school. Let's see you put that deer back together." All right? That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. You own that bullet.
Yep.
You own that bullet. And that was the way that he taught us. It was very basic. And I think a lot of these morons that are running around shooting each other in the gangs in the street, they don't even think of the finality. They don't even think, oh yeah, we shoot somebody. Yeah, well, they shoot somebody. They saw somebody shot on television. Maybe they saw some. Man, that's, first of all, people don't. They don't stop. They don't stop. Sometimes they shoot people. They don't stop. All right. Sometimes they just squirm around. All right. Just like game. They don't understand. They don't understand what life is about. So. I don't know.
I wasn't raised around guns. I actually didn't touch my first gun until I was 19. Before that, I mean, we went camping, we went fishing, we did a lot of outdoorsy stuff, and I've always had a love for the outdoors. But as far as guns, I don't even know that I'd even seen one until I was 19. And that was when I met my husband, and he deer hunted. But there was a responsibility I had to show before I was able to actually go out and shoot the deer. I mean, he took me to the range, I shot the gun a little bit, got used to how it operated, got the understanding of the whole thing. And then when we did go deer hunting, I mean, we hunt out here in South Carolina, we run dogs. So you have people lined up on roads and you have to know when it's safe to shoot and where it's safe to shoot. And if you don't, there's a very good possibility you're going to wind up shooting somebody or somebody's dog. So for the first little while, I was only allowed to shoot if we were on a road by ourselves or if we had an open field or cutout in front of me that I could shoot out there. And we did that for quite a while until I showed that I had enough self-control that I would stop shooting or start shooting at the appropriate times. But I didn't touch a gun until I was 19.
You were, what do you call it? Thank God. You were an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You were an adult, right?
I still needed teaching, though.
Oh, of course, But you recognized you were able to control your excitement. All right, I think that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kids have to learn, is to control their excitement and control their passion, and that's. And that's why we restrict them. Come on, I'm gonna tell you something funny. I just got a. I haven't talked to my grandson in quite a while, and called and he changed his phone number, and he called to tell me he changed his phone number, and I was thinking of the funny stuff we used to do. You know, kids. We're talking about kids. When I had him shooting, when he was 6, 8 years old, I used to tell him, we were on shooting off the deck, and we had spindles on the deck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'd say, "Caleb, you know, you can really hold that rifle steady if you shoot between those, you know, if you put the barrel between those spindles, and you can hold on to the spindle and shoot off your hand." Well, that's great. You know why I did that? Because he had a little bit of ADD, and man, I didn't want him turning around that damn rifle. And I knew if I had him put the barrel through the spindles, he wasn't turning around too readily.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was good. And you have to have workarounds, you know?
Yeah.
You have to have workarounds. But they learn. I mean,
something I'd like to do, and I think is I mean, not every parent wants anything to do with guns. I mean, not every parent knows anything about guns, but there are children out there. Like one of the boys that I took to take his first deer, his parents aren't hunters. They do enjoy shooting guns occasionally, but they're not hunters. They don't have that opportunity. So I took him. But I also took him. We first started shooting BB guns, then pellet guns, then squirrel hunting. And then we worked up to deer hunting, and he learned responsibility. He learned that that pellet or that bullet was his, no matter where it landed. Mm-hmm. He learned that it's a permanent thing. It's not something that you can undo. And what I think would be cool for the community is to have a program where you have the kids that want to learn how to shoot, want to learn how to hunt. They come and they learn how to shoot first, but they start off with a Red Ryder. Yep. Every one of them starts off with a Red Ryder, and then when they show gun responsibility with the Red Ryder, I'll move them up to a .22 caliber pellet gun. And then when I believe that they're ready for something else, I'll move them up to a .410.
I give that shit away all the time. I really do. Because, like I said, my grandson is 23 now, but I had his stuff from when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to keep it in my house. I didn't take it home. Yeah, the motorcycle you can take home. Yeah, that's great. You can't kill nobody with a motorcycle. Well, you can. It's unlikely you'll kill somebody with a motorcycle. But, you know, the guns, you stay here. And he has no use for them, so I give them away. You know? Hold on. Call your mom. Can Trent have this what do you call it? This rifle here. All right, good. No problem. He's bringing it home. And there you go. Because the truth of the matter is, oh my God. You know, we make the best firearms in the world. We really do. And they're multi-generational. Mm-hmm. You know why they come out with all these new calibers? They come out with all these new calibers because they try and convince you that they're better than the old ones.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with the old ones. It's just that guns don't wear out. I mean, sporting guns, I mean, hunting guns don't wear out. Yeah, target guns, yeah, but listen, if I'm shooting competitively every 1,000, 1,500 rounds, I change a barrel, all right? But how often do you put 1,000 or 1,500 rounds through one of your hunting rifles?
Maybe not my rifles, but my shotgun, probably.
Oh, your shotgun? Yeah, but there's no rifling in there. Only thing you're going to do is maybe replace parts in a receiver, you know?
Well, we've had to replace barrels.
Have you really?
Yes. Yeah. Well, some of the
you
guns...
Tell
okay,
me, you
some
can
of
tell
the
me,
guns...
You can tell me that story later on.
Some of the guns are from, like, the 70s. My husband's older guns. We've had to replace barrels.
And why is that?
They get messed up, but we shoot them a lot. We shoot them a lot.
The only way you can ruin a shotgun barrel is slam it in the door. You're not gonna shoot it out.
I don't know. They warp.
You gotta believe me. You gotta believe me. You ain't gonna shoot it out. You might want to improve it. You might want to get a barrel with screw and chokes in that old Remington 870 or 1100. You might change the barrel, but generally you're not gonna shoot out a shotgun barrel. But that's okay. we don't need to talk about that. That your husband wanted a new shotgun?
No, he didn't get a new shotgun.
I'm not going to betray. I'm not going to betray my gender, saying that you know he told you that barrel was shot out because he wanted to get a new
shotgun.
I'm
going to pick that ball up later, sir.
So
can I say something else?
Go ahead.
So my the whole thing about having the children start with BB guns and then move up is that you'll have some of them over here that are now shooting Remington 270 or something, and this guy's still over here stuck on his Red Ryder going, well, why? Why do I have to still shoot the BB gun? It shows them, because you're not being responsible. You're not. I can't trust you with something bigger. I don't believe in the participation award. I don't believe in that. I believe in you show responsibility. You show...
Angie, I got to tell you, and you're right. You're right, but I got a better question for you. I think there's a point where you have to pull the plug and say, you're done.
Well, yeah, could definitely, if it's just a BB gun, if he's pointing it at people and not listening to where it's an unsafe situation, absolutely.
You know, see you later. I mean, you're done.
But if it's somebody that...
Come on. Christmas movies. You're going to shoot your eye out.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, A Christmas Story?
Yeah.
Going to shoot your eye out. But,
I think having a child watching other people advance in something for some or most children would encourage them to want to do better. Some of them, they're not going to care. That's
you know what you got to watch, really? I think, and remember I was telling you I had my grandson shooting through the spindles? I think some of these kids, they don't have the ability to concentrate and to remember where that muzzle is all the time. That's what they really have to learn, you know?
Yeah. Paying attention for anybody is something that you actually have to focus on, put some effort into, and that's the problem with society today.
Go to the gun store.
Put effort in anything.
Go to the gun store if you want to get swept. Go work in Palmetto if you want to get swept. I tell you something crazy. I go, and maybe I'm an extremist. I was in Colorado, and for some reason, I was carrying a handgun. I had to hand the gun I was carrying to the guy on the other side of the counter. For some reason, and I don't remember what exactly it was, but you know, there's a safety protocol. If I have to disarm myself and hand a gun to somebody on the other side of the counter, it's simple. I drop to one knee behind the counter, I take the gun out, I drop the magazine, I clear the chamber, I leave it open, and I get up and hand it to the guy for a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, it's a very, very controlled environment, all right? I'm here. I'm in a small space. There's nobody that's going to get swept with a handgun. It just works. Which goes back to the same thing. The firearms education is the firearm safety. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times police officers are the worst because they get so cavalier. But a lot of them aren't gun people,
mm-hmm.
and. They're busy and they're not focused, and they'll drop a magazine, and stupid thing with Glocks, you have to disassemble the gun, you have to pull the trigger, all right? And they'll drop the magazine, point it at the floor, pull the trigger, and it makes noise. Duh, you know
yeah.
what I mean? People have to really focus on what the hell's going on.
Have you heard of the Live Fire Shooting Range? They have a program where they train mostly police officers. I think they do it for civilians too, but it's mostly police officers.
I was the beta tester.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
It's
so you know all about it. You've been through it.
I've been through it, and my wife has been through it. We're both beta testers over there. It's intense. It's intense. When I walked in, now I'll make you laugh. When I walked in there, explained everything to me. I go in and he hands me a Glock 19 and I said, how many rounds? He says, no, you got a full magazine. Okay. So I take the Glock 19 and put it on. I said, listen, how many guns am I supposed to go in there with? He says, just the one that I gave you. So I took the one off that I had and I gave it to him. I said, here, well, hold mine till I come back. So, it's pretty intense, and that's, I think that's a, what do they call that? I think that's a, not copyrighted, that's a patented,
Yeah.
That's a patented.
There's only a couple of them in the nation.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It is. And it goes to, Really, nobody knows what we're going to do in any certain situation. Right. We have a better idea of it if we're more practiced in it. And it goes back to, right. Teaching children gun safety.
Without going too much into the weeds, I have the tendency and the training to eliminate a threat before that threat is imminent. Bottom line is, before somebody points a gun at me, I eliminate the threat. And that's what impressed him there. Okay. You reach for the gun. That's all you have to do. I'm not gonna wait for you to point the gun at me. You reach for the gun, it's going. The other thing is the scenarios are so real that many times I used to travel a lot, and I told my wife, and my wife would I used to keep a Smith & Wesson pistol in a lockbox because I had a small child in the house, and I used to stay next to the bed, and her instructions were, and rightfully so, shoot until the threat stops.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they're crying, doesn't matter if they're begging, or if they're pleading. Until the threat stops, you continue to eliminate that threat. And ironically, that's what happened in the scenario in the what do you call it, in the shoot house. I had somebody pleading with me while they were reaching for the gun again. No. And it's good. It's good. The construction of the building we talked about, and what's the fellow's name?
Kevin,
right?
Yeah. Kevin.
He has black metal business cards. You ever see his business cards?
I don't know.
They're metal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he talked to me about the construction of the building. Between the actors and the shoot house is like 4 foot of sand.
Oh, wow.
The wall was 4 foot, 4 foot thick.
Wow.
Yeah, it's safe. It's safe, and it's great. You use that outdoor range, right?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah, we're probably going to be working some things out to where I'd like to teach children how to shoot and do some kind of youth shooting program, as well as a woman, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. He has another woman that works there with knives, I think. Yeah, it's interesting. He's what do you call it? He's very broad spectrum defense place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And right next door is a guy, guy I know, Bob Lutz, and they have adjoining pieces of property, and they make a little noise. Kevin makes a little noise over there.
Yeah.
But no, that's good. It's real good, and it's not cheap, but it's not something that you can. It's a lot different than shooting paper.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
It's a lot different than shooting paper. You learn as much. You learn a lot about yourself.
Oh yeah, he said he's had officers they've quit their job afterwards because they realized they wouldn't respond in a right way.
Yeah.
So
it's
a reality check for sure.
Yeah, you learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
That's good. Hey, Mr. John, how much time we got now? We got five to go? All right. All right. And then we can wrap up this half. And, We didn't, you know what? We haven't talked in a while. And been doing a lot of catching up. We didn't have any set format today.
Nope.
No. Well, we're going to do another half an hour after this. And think about what you want to do. I'm sure you're going to beat me up over something.
I'm a mean girl.
Beat me up. Oh, you are a meanie. I seen what you do to those little iguanas. I mean, you are one nasty woman there.
I'm just helping out. That's all.
Just helping out.
Just helping out. It's all a matter of perspective.
Have you shot any iguanas lately?
No, I'm going in June.
Oh, you really?
Yeah, I'm going down there with actually a lady from the West Virginia banquet.
Oh, really?
They raffled off an iguana hunt with me.
Oh, good.
So a lady and a youth get to go down there next month. And,
good. Yeah, good. That's always a good fundraiser.
It is. And it was cool because the guy that basically, I guess, born the idea of this whole alliance to raise money for the youth, his wife was the one that, like, I want to go on this iguana hunt. So he wound up buying it. So I get to go with his
wife.
Well,
I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Those hunts, those charity hunts, mm-hmm. those charity hunts are a bargain. They're a bargain.
Oh, yeah. There's people going to Africa for $2,500. That includes everything.
Let me tell you something. You ready for this? 2 days of shooting quail in Zephyr Hills, Florida, on a 3,000-acre ranch for four guys, all right? We shot quail for 2 days. Got to use their guns. Got to use, and their ammunition, number 8 shot, because everything's so close, right, that they want you to use number 8s because, you know, doesn't carry as much. Mm-hmm. Four setters, 2 labs, I think the bid for 4 guys was under $500.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
I mean, people are giving this away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny though. It was funny. I went with my kid brother, and they actually give you cooler bags to put your game in coming home.
Yeah.
Well, you see, you guys don't eat the iguanas, but the quail you eat.
Oh, you can eat. I've eaten iguana.
Have you really?
I would say raccoon tastes better than iguana, though. We had raccoon at the ladies' coon hunt.
Did you
we
really?
Just finished up. It tastes a lot better than iguana. I would eat iguana if I had to, but it's not something I'm going after. But.
Well, old Merle over here at Edisto Processing.
Yep.
Had a critter strung up in there, and it was all skinned out, and he was whittling the meat off it. And I said, Merle, what kind of critter you got hung up there? That's a coon. I said, they're good eating? He says, if you know how to cook them. Okay.
Yeah, okay. You got to know how to cook them. Mr. Nesbitt cooked ours for us. So, and he did a jam-up job. I was a little nervous about tasting it, but they had barbecue sauce, hot sauce, all this stuff on the table just in case we needed to hide it a little bit, but I ate it just like it was. It was really good.
You're talking about the coon now, right? Yeah, it was good, right?
Yeah, it was. It was really good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny, I think we're going to wrap this up, and it's been about a half an hour. Yeah, yep. And Angie, it's always a pleasure, and I thank you too much. We went off a script. We went off of no script today, and with no content, and did a lot of catching up, and this is Frank on Target and Airgun Angie, and you're listening to WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio, and we're out of here.
at WVFF, thank you for tuning in to Frank on Target, your source for straight talk on global politics and outdoor escapades and controversy. Until next time, stay on target with Frank. You're listening to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM.